I want to leave with you this morning in the book of the Revelation, the chapter 1 and the verse 17. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. In this chapter, we have a visit of the Lord Jesus to John on the Isle of Patmos. He's come to meet his servant. John, I remind you, is an old man, not far from the end of his life. He is an oppressed man because he's in exile for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus in the Isle of Patmos. And here he is. He's maybe struggling with discouragement, but here he has a visit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he sees Christ, I saw him, he says in our text, and as he sees Christ, he's overcome. And he falls at his feet as dead. And he couldn't fall at a better place. There's no better place to fall than the feet of the Lord Jesus. And if you feel overcome, or if you're filled with worries, or you have problems, that's the place to fall, the feet of the Lord Jesus. So he falls at a good place. And that's where we all need to fall, especially with our sins. If we're unconverted and you don't know the Lord and you're not right with God, this is a place to fall, the feet of Jesus, where John is in our text this morning. And there at the feet of Jesus, in his present state, he hears this word from Jesus, fear not, fear not. And that's what I want to consider with you this morning. This is very revealing, this phrase, fear not. Because it not only shows us John's state of mind, which we'll say something about in a wee minute, whenever the Lord has to say to him, fear not, we're learning something about John's state of mind. But what I want really to think about is what it tells us about our Lord. It tells us something about our Lord's heart and his good and his great heart that he speaks these words to his servant John. So that's what I want to think about, to focus on the Lord's fear not and what it shows us about our Savior. Well, the first thing that it shows us, it shows us that the Lord comprehends everything about us, that he knows everything about us. He knows what we feel and how we feel. It says in the text, I saw him. Jesus, John saw Jesus, but Jesus also saw John. And what is more, he saw into his heart. He saw how he felt. He saw what was going through his mind. And one of the things that he saw was fear. He saw John was afraid. You know, the Lord knows how we feel. He knows what's going on inside our hearts and in our minds. That's a remarkable thing when you study the life of Jesus. Even in the Gospels, whenever he walked among men, the apostles were always amazed by this, how Jesus knew them, how he knew their hearts and how he knew their thoughts. You remember how John wrote in his Gospel earlier on in John chapter 2, verse 24? It says that Jesus did not commit himself unto them. That is, to the Jews and to the men of the village. He didn't commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He knew they had badness and what they would do to him. He didn't commit himself because he knew. He knew. And it says also in the next verse, he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He didn't need one of the apostles to come along and say, look, Jesus, you shouldn't trust that fella because, you know, he's not a good man. He didn't need someone to come to him like that because he knew what was in man. That's what the Bible says. He said to the Jews, I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I mean, that's a very serious thing to say because we can't read anybody's heart, really. But the Lord Jesus can. And he can say to the man whose heart he knows and reads, he says, I know you, that you don't have the love of God in you. I know you. And here he's coming visiting John on the Isle of Patmos. And he's saying to John, fear not, because he knows what's going on in John's mind. And what is going on in his mind? He's afraid. He's filled with fear. He's overcome. And he falls like a dead man. He just becomes lifeless. And he's filled with terror. And the Lord says, don't be afraid, fear not. So whatever else is going on in John's mind and whatever state of heart he has, this is the thing, particularly at this moment, which is prominent. He's afraid. Now, the verb here, fear not, the verb is the word that we get phobia from. Phobia. We all have phobias. Some of us have phobias of heights. We don't like to climb up ladders and be up there looking down. We can't do that because we have this fear. And so it's a terrible fear. It's a fear that sometimes is hard to overcome. It's hard to overcome our phobias. Well, here John has a phobia. He's terrified. He's afraid. And the Lord, what we're saying is that the Lord Jesus knows that. Now, what is it he fears? We think it's probably death, judgment, because the Lord goes on to talk about, don't be afraid, I'm the living one, I was dead, I'm alive forevermore, I have the keys of hell and of death. So he's maybe afraid of death, of judgment, because he's seen the Holy Christ. And you know, when you see the Holy Lord, you become conscious of your sin and you be filled with fear. Remember how one said, oh, I've seen the Lord, I'll die. And John has just got a glimpse of the Lord's glory. And he falls down at his feet dead. And he's overcome with this fear. But whatever the fear is and whatever the cause of the fear is, Jesus knows. He knows not only that he's afraid. He knows what's the cause of that fear. He knows the source of our fears. Maybe there's someone here this morning. That's just the state of mind that you're in. I'm afraid. I'm worried. I have a great concern. I'm terrified of this matter that lies before me, or this situation that I'm going through now. I'm just terrified. The Lord knows. The Lord knows what's the cause of your fear. The Lord knows what it is. He knows also how sinful our fears are. And many of our fears are sinful, really. It comes down to unbelief and lack of trust in the Lord. And he knows how our fears paralyze us. Sometimes when we're filled with fear, we just can't serve the Lord the way we should be. We become paralyzed because of our fear. We just sit and worry, and we become useless. The Lord knows all of this. He knows John's falls at his feet is dead. He's pretty useless now. He's paralyzed by fear. But the Lord doesn't torment him about it. He just comprehends it. He understands it. He sees the sinfulness of it even. And he just understands. And the Lord understands this morning how you feel. Maybe not everybody else does. Maybe your spouse is wondering, well, what are you worrying about? That's not much to worry about. But the Lord knows. He comprehends. The Lord comprehends when he says this. He's comprehending John's fear. But not only do we see from this fear not, not only that the Lord comprehends all our fears, we also see that the Lord cures. He cures. When he says, fear not, he cures. He sympathizes. He not only sees, he sympathizes. He doesn't only know, he's kind. He's kind. He's not hard or austere. He's not rough and bitter and cold. He's not that kind of person. He's not like what, you remember in the parable how the Lord told the parable of the talents, and there was that wicked servant who buried his gift, and the excuse that he gave was, I know you that you're a hard man, an austere man. You're difficult. And that was very unkind to the Lord who gave him that talent to talk like that to the Lord. And, you know, the Lord cures. We don't have to bury our talent. thinking he's a hard man. He cures. He's not a hard man. He cures. And this expression, fear not, just shows that he cures. Brethren and sisters, we need to be careful how we view our Lord. He's of tender mercies. He's not hard. And as preachers of the gospel need to be careful how they preach Christ and how they proclaim him. And God forbid that any of us as preachers should paint him falsely. He's of tender mercies. He's kind. He's a good and a great heart. And to the one who falls at his feet, he'll find all the kindness he wants in Jesus Christ. If you just fall at his feet. So he's here's a picture that won't lead us astray. A picture of our Lord, the fearful sinner falling at Jesus' feet. This is what he gets. This is the reception. This is the response. Kindness, mercy, compassion, grace. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. So it's obvious the Lord cares. He doesn't ignore those fears. He doesn't say to John, John, you deserve it. You're not trusting in me. You're thinking wrongly of me. You just deserve that. He doesn't say that. He says, fear not. He doesn't say, you deserve it, John. No, the Lord doesn't talk. He doesn't aggravate John's fears. He doesn't make his fears more intensive. He's at his feet. He doesn't aggravate or make intensify. He reaches out his hand. And that's an indication in itself of his kindness and his care. I'm talking about the Lord's heart this morning. I'm not just talking about the words that say fear not. I'm talking about the heart that it comes out of. The heart that wants to say that. Fear not. He's caring. He's kind. You know, see, very often our problem is, men and women, that we spend too much time looking at our own hearts. Now, it's not wrong to look at your hearts and to see your sin, but you see, when you look at your heart and you see your sin, you need to quickly look at the heart of Jesus. And that's where I'm pointing you this morning, to his heart, to the heart of the Savior. And there are some people, and they're more interested in other people's hearts. And they want to fix other people's hearts. You know, we've enough to worry about with our own heart. But all of us need to look at the heart of Jesus. Every one of us. His heart. His good, his great, and his wonderful heart. That's what I'm talking about. The heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, let us remember our Lord is kind. And brethren and sisters, we should be like that as well, shouldn't we? You know, austereness and hardness doesn't win. Doesn't win people. And the Lord Jesus Christ wins people. Because, not because he's austere and hard, but because he's kind. Because he's compassionate. Because what the Bible says, he's of tender mercies. So brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus is not a terror to those who humbly and with contriteness fall at his feet. If we're Pharisees and self-righteous, he may be a terror to us. If we're wicked and stubborn and hard, and if we're unmerciful and unforgiving to others, we're not likely to hear the Lord's fear not. But if we're broken and melted and we're just at his feet and alarmed maybe about our heart and alarmed about our sins and alarmed about our poor condition and alarmed about our feeble walk with God, if we're just concerned and humble and hurt about these things and come and fall at his feet, we'll find that he's gracious and he'll lay his hand upon us and he'll say, fear not. And the Lord Jesus is always like that. You know, we're so blessed to have four Gospels. I love the Gospels because in the Gospels you see the Lord Jesus. You see how he lived when he was among men. And you just get a great picture of the great kindness of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You study him in the Gospels and every encounter that he had with men, there was always this kindness. The kind man of Calvary. Do you remember the leper? You know how he healed the leper? He touched him. He touched him. Now, the Lord doesn't have to touch anybody. He could just speak the word and heal people. Well, why did he touch people? For comfort. That's why. And you see, there's a leper. He's never been touched. Nobody touches a leper. Nobody comes and puts their hand on a leper and says, oh, you poor leper. You just, you know, because you just don't do that. He's unclean. And you're afraid of getting the disease. But Jesus comes. He touches a leper. You know that touch? Even if the leper hadn't been cleansed. I'd say even if the leper hadn't been cleansed, you see that touch in itself? That would have worked wonders in his heart. And he'd have fallen in love with Jesus just for the touch. That's Jesus. He's kind. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. That's just the way he was. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? 12 years. Daughter, go in peace. He's just kind. He's just kind. You remember the woman taken in adultery? And all those abusive men, how they would expose her, how they would make her a spectacle. And Jesus just stooped down and wrote on the ground. He wouldn't even look. He wouldn't even look at her. He would make her not feel any more embarrassed. Because he's kind. That's the kind of him. He's tender. He's sympathetic. He's gracious. He's a curing man. You remember even in the upper room? Even in the upper room. And it's his last night. And he's going to go to the cross. And he's more worried about his disciples and how they're going to feel than he is about himself. He cared more for the sheep than he did for himself. And whenever you listen to him in the upper room, let not your heart be troubled. You think his disciples were going to be crucified? You think they were the ones who were going to go to the cross? He's the one going to the cross, and yet he says, don't let your heart be troubled. He's kind. There's no more compassionate heart than the heart of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're glad we've fallen at his feet. We're not one bit disappointed falling at Jesus' feet. We're glad he's our Savior. He's compassionate and he's tender. We'll find it so. And you can find it too, sinner, if you fall at his feet. He cures. He cures. What saith the scriptures about him? In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. His soul was grieved for the misery of Israel, the Bible says. His soul was grieved for their misery. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. He feels for us. He has sympathy. Fear not. He cares for you. He cares for you. And that, these two words tell me that. But also, brethren and sisters, thirdly, not only do these words reveal that the Lord comprehends our fears, and not only does it reveal that the Lord cures for us in our fears and with our fears, but it also tells us that he comforts. He comforts and he wants to comfort. Fear not. Fear not. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. He doesn't only cure and sympathize. He helps. He does something. He administers comfort. We've seen our Lord's mind comprehending. We've seen our Lord's heart curing. But now I draw your attention to the Lord's hand helping. He gives a helping hand. It's his right hand too. John noticed that. He wants to tell us about that. It was his mighty hand. He laid his right hand upon me. That's action. That goes beyond sympathy. You know, that's all the minister can do. He can just have some sympathy. Or your friends come and they have some sympathy and they listen. But, you know, when you're really down there, there's nobody can help you. Really. Haven't I found that? But Jesus helps. He helps. He laid his right hand upon me. So the Lord will comfort those at his feet. He'll cause them to feel his touch. He'll cause them to feel in his providence. You'll feel his touch. Some way or other, there'll be an indication there of his kindness. You'll feel his touch. He'll lay his hand upon you. There'll be some providence. He'll help you when you're afraid. If you fall at his feet, you'll not be disappointed. And as I said, the Gospels are full of this touch. I've already mentioned the leper. You remember Peter's mother-in-law? He touched her hand, and the fever left her. He helped her. You remember how the blind, he touched their eyes. And then you remember how the sick all the time, he came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." Oh, they're the hand of Jesus. It brings balm. It's never empty. It brings just what we need. Just that grace that we need. Just that help that we need. And you know, when people bring things maybe, and maybe they bring a cake or might bring something just to help you through your time of sorrow, and you appreciate that, but it's not the help that your heart needs. But Jesus can give that. He gives a helping hand that really works. So the Lord's mind with us, the knowledge of us, his heart for us, his hand administering healing to us. But also you'll notice that the Lord speaks. He didn't just lay his right hand upon me. He said, "Fear not." Because the Lord doesn't only help us in providence and lay his hand upon us. He gives us his word. It's his word really that comforts us. You know, all these miracles that happened, so often they were healed. But the Lord just didn't finish with the healing. He gave them a word. He says, "Go in peace now. Go home in peace. Fear not. Thy faith have made thee whole. Thy faith have saved thee." He always gave them a word. Because it's really the word that comforts us. You've been made whole. Your sins are forgiven you. Go in peace. Because we get home and the devil comes and says, "Your sins aren't forgiven at all. Do you feel that your sins are forgiven?" "I did when Jesus spoke to me, but I don't feel it now." But then you remember the word. He said it. He said it. And brethren and sisters, it's the word that comforts us. He says in his word, he speaks. The devil comes and talks about our feelings and this and that and the other. And say, "Look, he said it. He said it in his word. He said, 'Don't be afraid.' He says, 'I'm the first, I'm the last.' He said, 'I have the keys of hell and of death. I don't have to be afraid of death.'" Don't be afraid of death, child of God. Because your Savior has the keys. He has the keys. He says, it's in his word. Why should you be afraid of dying? Why should you be afraid of death? He has the keys. It's all in his power. It's all in his control. So the Lord, he comforts us with his word. Now, we haven't time to look how he comforted John with all these expressions and the things that he says about himself to John. I'm just thinking about the words, "Fear not." You know, some have asserted that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. Well, I have never been able to prove that, and I don't think that that assertion is maybe wholly true. But this much is true, that we have fears every day. That's true enough. 365 days of the year we have fears. And all our lives we're going to need the Lord's fear not. We're going to need it 365 days, even if there's not 365 of them in the Bible. But this is clear, there's quite a few. Even if there's not as many as 365, there's quite a few, because the Lord is always coming and saying, "Fear not." You remember how he came to Abraham? Abraham had a great victory, but he was fearing the armies coming back again and getting revenge. But the Lord comes and says, "Look, Abraham, fear not. I'm your shield. I'm your shield. Don't be worrying about them armies coming back again and hassling you. I'm your shield. Don't be afraid." And so, child of God, you have it on divine authority. Who is this that talks like this? Who talks like this Is this a mere man who comes and says, don't be afraid, I'm the first and the last? Is that a mere man? Do you not recognize this voice? This is the voice of God. This is the God of the Old Testament. This is the one who came to Abraham and said, fear not. Read it in the book of Isaiah. The same God said it, fear not. I'm the first and the last. And here Jesus takes the words up. You don't have to fear, John. It's me, Jesus. I'm the first and the last. He comforts us with his word. With his word. And so the Lord Jesus is so kind, so gracious. So fearful saint, fresh courage take this morning. And maybe this is the very word you need. You're worried. Don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. Just trust him. Only believe. Only trust. And listen to him who's saying to you today, fear not, fear not. I am with you through this. Let us pray. Lord, bless the word and bless thy people, especially any that are in the place. They just feel they're in the place where John is now. Any that are in that place, may this word from thee just be the word that they need by the power of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus' glory and sake. Amen.